Next on BYUSN, hello 5-0. The Cougars win in Waco and stave off a late rally from Baylor. BYU checked a lot of boxes. Let's review them with the win. BYU also jumps up in the AP poll and are now the second highest ranked Big 12 team. But should they be the top-ranked Big 12 team?
Can you take me? It's another Mattich Monday as ESPN's Trevor Mattich discusses BYU's chances of winning a Big 12 title and new win expectations. And how did Jimmer Fredette do in week 5 of Big 12 pick? And we'll recap another wild week in the Big 12. Shout out Arizona.
BYU stands atop the list. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. A very happy Monday, September 30th, another winning Monday. I am Spencer Linton. He is a man who always can appreciate an effective fake punt, Jerem Jordan.
Finally, we got someone from Oceania who can run a fake punt that works. Just kidding. I love you, Johnny. Sam Vanderhaar, 22 yards. Aussie rule football, 4th and 19. No, we don't have to think about that anymore. Look at Sam go, following some blocks, and then he slides safe into second base. Very nice from Sam Vanderhaar. This was a big moment. Momentum was being lost a little bit. Another punt. Sam Vanderhaar makes a play, Spence.
Jerem, it produced the only 3 points that BYU scored in the second half.
Which required Baylor to kind of be more aggressive and get down the field and not just kick a field goal.
They would have had to score a touchdown instead of tie it with a field goal.
Here's the Aussie on his fake punt after the game with Spence.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, no, I love fakes. I said to Coach Pop, going for every punt, I said, please call it.
He got the green light from Tyler Batty, who signals, okay, we are a go. And they were off on a 4th and 10.
I know, right? It wasn't like 4th and 5. Look at him go. So that was awesome. Yeah, you love it when it works.
Yes.
If that didn't work, we'd be like, dude, don't ever fake punt on 4th ever again. Yeah, so much scar tissue there, but that was great, man.
Just one of the many reasons to rise and shout on a Monday. It's time for What's Trending.
Welcome inside McLean Stadium on the banks of the Brazos River in Waco, Texas. Jake goes deep. He's got Lassiter. He's got the touchdown. Intercepted at the 20-yard line. Beautiful. It's in the air a long time. Picked off. Crew Wakely seals the deal for BYU.
BYU football is 5-0. Have you embraced it? The Cougars beat Baylor 34-28 and enter now a much-needed bye week. This win checks off a number of boxes, which we talked about last week ad nauseum. We'll get into that in just a moment, but it was also statement number 5, Jerem, for the Cougars and head coach Kalani Sitake. His quarterback Jake Retzlaff and star wide receiver Darius Lassiter also spoke on statement number 5 after the game. Here are their comments.
Yeah, statement number 5, the Cougars are for real, and we're gonna come every game, and you're gonna get everything that we have.
We didn't think we were going to be the underdog coming in here. I think the scorebooks may have, but we definitely didn't. We knew what we have. We know what we have, and that's statement number 5. Like Kalani's saying, we're ready for statement 6 in 2 weeks.
Well, I don't know if that was really a full statement. I don't think we finished it. So looking forward to statement number 6. Well, we can still play our best. So I thought that was pretty good in moments, but like, let's put together 60 great minutes of football.
Okay, Kalani going with the partial statement, Jerem.
I don't know.
It wasn't a full statement, but it was a
Could
statement.
Go better.
Look at this checklist.
Mm-hmm.
BYU's first ever win in Waco. They snap a 10 consecutive day game losing streak to FBS teams. They finally get that Big 12 road win that had eluded them. They have already equaled their win total in its entirety from last season, 5.
Awesome.
And they've equaled their Big 12 win total from 2023.
2.
And now they're 5-0 for the 8th time in program history, 3rd time under Kalani Sitake.
The one I like the most of those checks is the equaling last year's win total, because it means 5-0. It means that you are way better than last year. The men's basketball continuity principle has applied to this team. They didn't go out in the portal and get a bunch of guys. They said, you know what? We are going to be better, and we have continuity and motivation. And BYU has played so well. It has been awesome. I'm so excited about how BYU performed, too. What a start to this game. I'm at my son's flag football game. Aleva Hifo's there because his nephew is on my team. I'm the coach. And he goes, hey, we're up 28-7. I was like, no way. Also like, why'd you spoil it for me? I wanted to watch it. But anyway, Shout out to Leva. BYU played very well in the first half. Now, certain concerns, right? Second half, we'll talk about in a moment. But how about BYU jumping out quick and then holding on? The offense was explosive. Darius Lassiter had a great game. 8 for 120 and a touchdown. This play is great, by the way. That play is great.
That needs to be a touchdown pass, by the way.
By the way, so schematic note there. You have to catch the ball behind the line of scrimmage for you guys to be able to block downfield. So if you throw it in front of the line of scrimmage or downfield, that would be illegal man downfield. So there's some schematic things there with Aaron that he's done before, which, by the way, that's the Gunner, a Baylor to Gunner Romney play at Utah State that worked effectively. But so fun to see that pulled back out of the playbook. BYU held on in the second half, didn't play well in the second half, obviously. In fact, let's look at first versus second half numbers. You score 31 points in the first, only 3 in the second.
Stark contrast.
You only have 87 yards in the second half. 2.8 yards per play in the second half is not good. The rush game wasn't working great. Jake looked great running the ball in this game. 8.8 per carry, had the touchdown. But in the second half, certainly struggles. But BYU and third downs. Third downs in the second half. But you hold on. Like, it's not, it's not about... necessarily, you have to play 60 minutes of great football. I know Kalani wants to get to that point.
Sure.
It's about winning. And if BYU didn't jump out strong, would they have had a better second half? Because maybe the motivations or situations are different? Perhaps. I am pleased beyond anything that BYU won this game. I'm not overly concerned about the offensive struggles means XYZ moving forward. In Power Four football, you just need to win. We forget, like in 1984, I'm not comparing this team to 84 per se. I'm not saying they're going to be 84. I'm just saying in great seasons, good BYU teams, great BYU teams, had to hold on against competition that you would question. It's just about winning, and BYU's 5-0, baby.
You have to prove in those critical moments that when things do get weird and you aren't playing well, that you are a different team than you have been recently, and you make a winning play. And BYU made multiple winning plays, including the game-sealing interception from Crew Wakely.
What a game from him. Had a sack as well.
Did it not feel like forces were kind of combining against BYU? The turnovers and then the flop, the actor of the century,
yeah,
goes to Baylor.
Well, Tyler Batty did that the game before, so it's even.
Teams get away with it.
1-1.
Teams get away with it, yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
But when that happened, I thought, well, now BYU's really backed up in a corner. Can this team prove that they are different and make another play and go and win this game?
They did it twice, by the way, because Baylor had a series prior to the last series.
Yes.
Where they got the interception and had great field position.
And then went, they stalled. They could not get a first down on fourth down.
Yep.
You're right.
There were multiple, like this, the defense is awesome on this team. Like top 25 and all these things that matter. Two that really stick out. Top 10 in takeaways and top 10 in pass efficiency defense. Sewell Robertson had a nice pass game, but BYU really buckled down when they needed to.
Yeah.
Just like they did at SMU. And now BYU has three road wins, three P4 wins. They're 5-0. This is awesome, man. Which, by the way, I really like the crew Wakely interception, the game he had. He talked to you about it after the game. Here's what he said.
I've been waiting for one all game. There's a couple I got close to. So when I saw that thing there, I was like, no way. So I just had to go get it. And I mean, it's cool to make the play and all. People don't understand really what goes into it. Great play call. Great help from the corner. Great help from the linebackers, not allowing anything, underneath. And then shout out to the D-line for making him throw the ball.
Last year, Crew Wakely, when I recorded a film room with him, told me that when he got to BYU, he didn't know how to backpedal because he was a high school quarterback. He wasn't a safety growing up. This is a guy who's now BYU's starting strong safety.
Wasn't he the seventh string safety to start last season?
Could have been, yeah. They played a lot this year, but he has established himself as a real wrecker of opposing defenses, man.
He is Johnny on the spot often.
Yep.
We talk about the gap assignments and guys being in the places they're supposed to be. They're getting there faster. Crew Wakely is a prime example of that. So it's not like they didn't know where they were supposed to be last year. They're getting there faster.
Yeah.
Because they know and understand the assignments better.
And shout out to the defense that loses Harrison Taggart. And you watch the linebackers throughout the game. Jack Kelly plays a lot. But you'll look and you go, oh, look, it's Sione Moa. Look, it's Che Bryant Strother. It's Siale Asera. It's Isaiah Moa. How many times has BYU played like five or six linebackers consistently like this? Which, by the way, you've got two freshman corners in the game when it matters.
Oh, yeah.
Jonathan Cabay and Trey Alexander. And Trey got beat on a touchdown. It happens. Whatever. That's the risk of being a corner. But the depth and quality of this defense, it really impressed me. They got two takeaways again. What? I asked on Friday, what's going to happen when they don't get the takeaways? We may never find out. They keep taking the ball away, Spence.
They're finding
awesome ways
to win the ball back.
Yes.
And they were losing in the turnover margin. Crew Wakely makes the interception to equal it out, and BYU holds on.
Yep.
This team wanted a fast start in Waco.
Oh, they got it.
They got it. They wanted
John Nelson,
to shut
bro.
Everybody up
yes.
about not being able to play well in a day game.
Yes.
And do the antithesis of what they have typically done over the previous 10-game, day-game losing streak against FBS.
I still want to see more. It's not, like, over. That rhetoric is over for me.
It's quieted.
Because it's one of the last 11.
It's quieted.
Right? But, like, yeah, this team showed, okay, we're not last year's team. Like
no.
you said, we're not the teams of the past.
We're talking about our favorite checked boxes. You're 5-0. There's no wrong answer. They're all great.
Equaling last year's win total is what
But mine is yeah. that streak is done. The day game losing streak against FBS competition is over.
Now you can make it an arbitrary one for the last
hey,
one.
Hey, they took care of it.
It's awesome.
That's quieted. And so fun to watch BYU show up and execute something early in the game that they were really passionate about, which was we knew we needed a quick start. We had to have a quick start.
John Nelson getting his paw up. For a defensive lineman and offensive lineman, they don't have hands, just so we're all clear. They're paws. They're somehow become Bears.
Big bear paw.
Even though BYU played Baylor, who are the Bears. And then Blake Mangelson snatches that out of the air. The Juab Jackhammer.
Yeah. The Juab Jackhammer, the Mangler.
The Mangler.
And Nightmare Nelson in there.
All these South Utah County and Juab County nicknames. Awesome.
Incredible, incredible stuff.
We're all the
so
homies
many,
from Mona.
Yes. So
Santa
many
Quinn.
Different individual players yeah. made huge individual plays.
Guys who have been in the program a couple of years that have waited for an opportunity to shine, and now they are.
It's fun to watch this all come together.
Yes.
Going back again to the
yes.
core principle. They struggled. They've been through a lot together. They've had some low lows, but they all stuck it out, and that core principle has now translated into we're going to grow and be better together.
Did it require 5-7 to get here? Perhaps.
Did it require a fifth-place finish for a second consecutive year in the WCC for BYU basketball to get to where they did?
Perhaps. Do you have to be so upset that it gets you to a place where you reach higher? Perhaps. And we all love what we're seeing here. This is great.
All right. Our early rise and shout-out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. If you remember,
yeah.
we asked all of you to give us Sunday's headline on Friday to essentially call your shot about what would happen between BYU and Baylor. And some of you had some outstanding predictions.
Look at this.
That came true.
Look at this.
Starting with @KurtJB07, who says, BYU Cougars survive late rally to improve to 5-0.
Nailed
That's
it, Kurt.
That's unbelievable, Kurt.
Nailed it, Kurt.
Well done.
Nice.
@ElkoCougar adds, Cougars buck day or game day trend. Hammer Bears. Okay, so the day game is
yeah,
it's done.
Didn't
it's,
hammer,
it's over.
Didn't hammer them. They were hammering them 31-14, but yeah.
Love this from @DrTPhD, who says, bad news no more in Bears country. BYU
nice.
Wins on the road at Baylor.
Get a profile
bad news,
pick.
Bears.
Get an avatar, Doc.
And then Hayden Wheatley, @WheatleyHayden, adds 5-0 Cougars looking like a college football playoff team? ? With the eyeball emoji.
That's pretty interesting.
Well,
it's a bye week,
question.
So we have time to ask some of those questions.
Yes, time, right? he asks yeah. the question. We will address all of it.
Yep.
My response to that, and I've had several people say, yeah, but Arizona looks really good. They beat Utah. And you never know what's Oklahoma State could figure it out. Mike Gundy might find the right quarterback. And I am not telling people to not be concerned about what is ahead for BYU. Road game at UCF. Just no,
Colorado
we're
going in
the
there
cart
winning.
Before the
that?
Horse. People, enjoy the moment. Enjoy the moment. It is 5-0 for the next 2 weeks.
Yes, it is.
Just revel in it. If it goes away, it goes away.
Yeah.
But why not enjoy it while it is here?
I've never put the cart before the horse. Because I've never put a cart before a horse. I don't know. I even know what
oh,
that is.
Oh, you're getting
is.
Ahead
really
of yourself.
Is.
We can't talk about
Come
college
on.
Football play. Just then let the
Enjoy
national
the
pundits
moment.
Do it. Let the national people do it because they're the ones doing it.
Okay, BYU climbs five spots to number 17. My favorite prime number in the AP poll is the second highest ranked Big 12 team behind the clones of Iowa State. Should BYU be the highest ranked Big 12 team? How picky do we want to be with this success, Spence?
I'm not bothered by this. I'm not bothered by it.
Yeah.
But if you really like dig into the numbers and the resume, who has a better resume in the Big 12 than BYU right now?
Nobody.
Nobody.
As the Harbaughs say.
Nobody. So if we want to be nitpicky,
yeah. Nits here.
BYU's body of work, road win at SMU, which looks better and better.
Yes, it does.
Destroying 4-1 Kansas State, which looks awesome after they have dismantled now Arizona and Oklahoma State. And then you win on the road at Wyoming, which is always a tricky place, and you take care of business there. We were like, hey, you know, just don't win close. They blew them out. Okay.
The Kansas State win is the high. It almost feels like an anomaly because of how good Kansas State is, but it exists. That's a great win. It's one of the best, if not the best, wins in the Big 12. It's probably the best win.
They have three road wins. They have three of their five wins against Power Four competition. And you just bucked the day game trend, as we heard from one of our responses. They won on the road in an early day game.
5-0 against the spread as well. That wasn't on the checklist. We only have so much room. 5-0 against the spread. By the way, BYU makes a 54-yard field goal. I know Will Ferrand missed, a 39-yarder? But the dude has a cannon for a leg. At some point, he's going to perhaps make a game-winning field goal from deep that we're like, that guy won the game. It's pretty fun to see BYU on top of the Big 12. That's pretty stinking fun.
They're
I don't know that we thought that it's early, but I don't know that we thought that would happen. And how about UCF and Utah going down? So it's BYU, Colorado, Texas Tech with a crazy win over the weekend. And Iowa State looking good there. And, hey, it's early, but this is fun, man. There's only one team who's 5-0 and 2-0 in the Big 12, and it is Brigham Young
University.
Listen,
the five teams that got first-place votes in the Big 12 media poll all have at least one loss already in Big 12
play. It's hard. There's a lot of parity. My fear, big picture, Spence, is that this is a one-bid league to the playoff because there's so much parity, and the Big 10 and SEC are likely to get three or four teams in. So can you out at large later a Big 12 team? Who knows? Does this change things for BYU in terms of win expectation? Absolutely. I agree with what you said on the postgame show. As I was mowing my lawn, I was listening. I was like, yep, I agree with Spence. BYU's up to 9-3 expectation now. Like, and that still means 4-3 in the final seven.
Fine. That would still be incredible.
Like if it's 5-2.
10-2. Now
you're in the border of the playoff.
Now you're in that conversation.
And we'll have time to get into this. There's some big games. I wouldn't read into one game too much, by the way, of any performance from anybody. Take Arizona, for example. Take Colorado, for example. But Arizona, they look terrible at Kansas State, 31-7.
Which was not a conference game, by the way.
Yeah, non-conference.
Just clarify. It was a non-conference game.
Yes. And then you have the fact that they go up to Salt Lake and they beat Utah on Saturday. And they shut down that offense, and they looked explosive, and they ran the ball on Utah. Arizona looks interesting again, right? So it's week to week. Arizona could come in ranked. This could be a ranked matchup.
If they beat Texas Tech, they could very well. They were one spot out of the AP Top 25.
Yes. Arizona very well could be ranked. Hopefully that game, which we were thinking maybe we'd find out today. Doesn't sound like it. Perhaps that's in the six-day window, so next Sunday. That be a ranked matchup, hopefully, at 8:30. On ESPN. It would be juicy.
Let's go. So, you asked the question. Should they be the highest-ranked Big 12 team? Probably, but I don't really care.
They are one spot above Utah, so that matters to the BYU fans. Which is pretty fun.
They're on top of the Big 12 standings. That's what I care most about.
That's more important, yeah. And if you win, you'll keep flying up. I'm not worried about that. Just keep winning.
They have already beaten expectations, folks.
Yes!
Are we grasping that?
You know what we didn't even mention? Last year, we said after a fifth win, BYU will make a bowl game, and we were wrong.
This year,
BYU will make a bowl game this year.
We're going to be right.
No question. There's no way they lose seven in a row. Cole, take me later. I promise. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Oh, unreal what they have done.
I'm so happy.
And again, we mentioned it a few times.
This is awesome. Yes. Hey, BYU's 5-0, baby. Let's go. Come on.
Have we played the stat of the day music yet?
No.
I was hoping. Let's cue that up to follow Jerem Jordan.
Too excited.
Okay. BYU is the only undefeated team in the FBS division with 3 wins versus Power 4 opponents.
We're doing it, baby. We're really doing it, Harry.
I'm so glad they have 2 weeks to prepare for.
I know.
A very talented Arizona team.
We can just revel in this. Just enjoy it.
Yes.
Ask the big questions that we don't know the answers to.
Enjoy the moment.
Yes.
Yes. It's college football. Most teams lose games.
You can still end up 9-3 and it'd be awesome. But right now, things are pretty fun. Interesting.
Our question of the day. What is your favorite part about BYU's 5-0 start? And a lot of it has been a huge surprise. At Sam Emery 89 on X answers, BYU's won blowouts. They've won close games.
Yep.
They've come from behind. They've won on the road. They've beaten good teams. I'm starting to think BYU might be pretty good.
You're starting to think that? You just started.
I saw something so funny from Reddit CFB over the weekend. A BYU fan said, BYU's 5-0. And I'm wondering, are we maybe good? Like, when will this go away? And an Auburn fan responded, I was asking the question when Auburn was 11-0. We might be good. Are we maybe good?
BYU hammers on X. Being ranked above Utah. That matters to this fan base.
Yes.
And when Utah, when we asked the question via text on Saturday, is there Schadenfreude?
Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude.
Yes.
Which is the joy from others' misery. That happens with this fan base. The greatest days in BYU football history aren't just winning days. They are days when BYU wins and Utah loses. And now that we're in the same league, there's like a lot.
This is rivalry.
There's a lot of energy there. Because people are like, football. Oh, could they both be undefeated on November 9th? The answer is no. I also don't think BYU will be undefeated on November 9th. I would love for them to be. But I think that game is going to be huge no matter what.
Oh, come on. Absolutely.
Both have shown they're very good teams.
I don't think Utah will be a 17-point favorite in that game. Like they were in the beginning of the season.
You think they'll still be a 17-point favorite?
I don't think favorite.
Sorry. I was like, what?
No.
Yeah. I should listen to what you say.
Hashtag BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram to add to the conversation.
I got people.
All good. No, all good.
Let's blame it on others. Coordinator's Corner coming up at 2 Eastern time. As Greg Rubel has a fun chat with Aaron Roderick, Kelly Papinga. Lots to talk about, always. Coming up 2 Eastern time on the BYU TV app.
After the break, is Trevor Maddich ready to take BYU into college football playoff conversation? Oh. Does he think they need to be the highest ranked team in the Big 12? And does he think it's sustainable? This is BYU Sports Nation.
And one again.
BYU wins it by a score of 34-28. The Cougs are 5-0 going into the bye week.
How about it? 5-0 until at least October 12th. We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton, teamed up with Jerem Jordan. 5 statements, 5 games, and for a 5th consecutive Monday, a winning Monday.
It is money.
Yes, it is money, isn't it, though? Also money is ESPN's Trevor Maddich, college football insider, analyst, expert, and BYU national champion. He is back for another Maddich Monday. Trevor, 5-0. BYU has 3 Power 4 wins in there. That is unique to the Cougars. And no other college football teams can say that at this point, that they have 3 Power 4 wins in a 5-0 start. How are you feeling after the weekend and with BYU in this position?
Feeling great. Feeling awesome. I mean, that we're looking at the schedule before the season at SMU, figure it would be a really tough win. Kansas State, really tough win. BYU won both of those games. And so you put those obstacles behind them. There are still obstacles to come. But I love the way they're playing. I love the fact that they were so resilient against Baylor, where they jumped out on the Bears early, and then the Bears came roaring back, and BYU didn't wilt. Even with multiple injuries on both sides of the ball, BYU hung in there and they made the plays that they needed to make in order to pull out the win. And when you look at the way that they're playing, I think it's just exciting because they're not winning games because they're getting lucky. They're winning games because they are a unit. They're playing together. They're playing with enthusiasm. They're playing with fun.
I'm not making comparisons to 84, but I do want to touch on a few elements from that. Some people complain about the means. Listen, if BYU can't run over, 5 games, they're not going to be able to run moving forward probably. But, they're running well enough. They're winning in unconventional ways, like SMU. You got to create takeaways, get stops, get a late field goal. And this one, you get a big lead. You don't have a great second half, but you hold on with timely plays at certain times, including a fake punt, which was crazy. In 1984, you guys didn't blow everybody out. You had to win close ones at times, most notably at Hawaii, for example, with Kyle Morrell's dive over the pile. What does it say about BYU that despite having a tough second half and having a big lead, they still held on?
It says a lot about their resilience and about their confidence. It's easy when it's easy. When you're running somebody out of the building, it's a party. But when you start to have adversity, especially now, think of this adversity that they faced. They were on the road. They're facing a team that is historically outstanding on defense in the second half under Coach Dave Aranda and his defensive brain trust. You've got a hot, muggy day that Baylor trains in, and BYU doesn't train in that kind of muggy. You know, it's different when you're at altitude. And all of a sudden, all the momentum is on the Baylor side. So what does BYU do? Well, they get a bunch of guys hurt. And then what do? The backups play really well. I mean, you talk about Connor Pay going out in the first half. Sonny Maccasini came in at center, and I was watching him play, and he did a really good job. He didn't just hold up. He was helping them to make plays. And that was the kind of contribution they got from their backups. And so, you know, when you talk about how they win, when you talk about, you know, not blowing everybody out, I mean, people aren't going to blow everybody out. Look at Alabama. I mean, they faced USF a couple of weeks ago, and for the first three quarters, that was a fight. And then they finally took over in the fourth quarter. You know, Georgia went to Kentucky, and they won 13-12, for goodness sake. And Georgia has a couple of those games in them every year, even when they're winning national championships. So when it's easy, it's easy. And I don't judge teams by how they do when they're on a roll. I judge them by how they do when all of a sudden they're at the bottom of a hill and they're looking up at this big mountain they've got to climb. And BYU climbed that mountain in the second half.
Trevor Maddich of ESPN is on BYU Sports Nation. Just find a way. And they did, unlike last year's team when things got tight late in the game. This BYU team made a play and won the game. So they're 5-0 for just the eighth time in BYU football history. This is the third time under Kalani Sitake BYU has been 5-0. At this juncture, Trevor, are you ready to call BYU a real contender to win the Big 12, or do you need to see more? And if so, how much more?
When you say contender, they have to be. One of the top two contenders coming into the season was Kansas State. BYU faced them. BYU won. Now, if they played another five times, what would happen? Well, we'll see if they play again in the Big 12 championship game. But BYU won that game. And when you talk about the way that they're winning, it's not just a matter of resilience and toughness. It's a matter of talent and execution. They've got tremendous speed on this team. I mean, you see that Y on those helmets running around, covering ground from a lot of different guys on this team, more than we've seen in the past, I think, in terms of the depth of that speed. The offensive line has performed much better this year than it has for the last several years, and they keep getting better week to week, even though they've had injuries at the top of the running back depth chart. This last game, I mean, they averaged, what, about 6 yards a carry, I think 5-6 yards a carry, and a lot of that was the quarterback, but still, when he runs, he runs, and the offensive line is blocking for him. And they, when you watch the offensive line against Baylor, were borderline magnificent on the double teams. When they double a defensive lineman and then one of the two comes off and picks up the linebacker at the next level. They were pushing guys down the field 2, 3, 4 yards consistently on those double teams. So the offensive line is playing very well. Strength of this offense is the receivers, I think. They're deep, and even with the injury to Cody Epps, don't know when he'll be back, but they still are deep and capable at the receiver and tight end position with size mismatches and a lot of speed. The defense, they're winning with defense. The defense is aggressive. It is multiple in the looks that they give offenses. And when offenses start to dial in on what the defense is doing, BYU's defense will change. They'll do a different wrinkle or even a different scheme. There's all kinds of different things that they can do, all the while coming downhill with their hair on fire, attacking. And so these are things that BYU is doing to win. And because of that, their wins are not just a lucky bounce of the ball once in a while. Their wins are sound, solid football. So I think contender in the Big 12, you have to consider them that right now.
Sure, it certainly was an interesting day in the Big 12, too, with Colorado going to UCF and getting the upset, Arizona going to Utah and getting the upset. Right now, BYU's 2-0, one of three teams on top in the Big 12, and then they go up to number 17 in the AP poll, second highest ranked Big 12 team. What do you make of where the Cougars sit among their Big 12 peers right now?
Right now, you got to move them up. I mean, I had them at number four last time. You got to put them up to two or three right now. I still think Kansas State is the most talented and prepared team to win this conference right now. This is pending the health of Cam Rising, the Utah quarterback. You know, they've struggled on offense since he's been out. They've been able to win, but then they weren't able to move the ball against Arizona because Arizona finally dialed in on what they were doing with the backup, Isaac Wilson, and that didn't go well. So we'll see what happens when he comes back. But at the same time, you've got to put BYU up to around three, maybe even two right now. And as we've talked about this, the ranking of the top five Big 12 teams has shuffled a lot because we thought we knew what was going to happen before the season. And then, as always happens, we see them play and then we adjust our opinion. And I think right now, BYU's got the best win, certainly conference win in the Big 12, beating Kansas State. Iowa State is right there with BYU. Their best win is Iowa. Kansas State is still ranked, I believe. Iowa's not ranked. So BYU's got the best win. So I would put them up in the top two or three of the Big 12 as we sit today.
Trevor, as you look at the AP poll, BYU just one spot behind Iowa State. The Cougars are 17th, the Cyclones 16th. You just outlined that BYU has, in your opinion, the best win between those two teams. So using that factor and the oft-used body of work argument, should BYU be the highest-ranked team in the AP poll through their five wins?
I think they should be, just because of the quality of that Kansas State win. I think there's a lot of inertia in favor of Iowa State as long as they continue to win, just because it's one of the most experienced teams coming back in the nation in terms of returning production on both sides of the ball. Iowa State is an outstanding football team. And you can't say that definitely, well, BYU should be ahead of them because BYU is a lot better. But you can make the case that body of work, BYU should be ahead of them, at least until further notice. Now, keep this in mind, too, that BYU doesn't play Iowa State in the regular season. The schedule makers didn't do BYU any favors. I mean, they gave them Kansas State, which they already won. Utah's on the schedule, and maybe Cam Rising will be back, and Utah will be back to beating Utah. Then they've got Arizona, Oklahoma State, UCF, which is, I think, also a contender for this conference. You've got a really tough schedule going forward. And so BYU will have a chance to prove itself going forward. But at the same time, today, where they should be ranked relative to Iowa State, BYU's body of work is better, even if the team, you can make the case that either team is better. I would put BYU ahead for that reason.
Turnovers can really win you ball games, and BYU has shown that if the offense turns it over, they're going to take it away at the same clip. They did that at SMU, 3-3. They did that with Baylor here, 2-2. What role does the defense have in the sustainability of BYU's success if, and sometimes they happen, turnovers occur on offense?
Well, they get turnovers back. I mean, Crew Wakely's interception at the end was legendary. But to me, what was also legendary was the interception at the beginning by Mangelson. I mean, Nelson pushed the middle of the offensive line of Baylor back into the face of the quarterback and then got his hands up. Because that happened, he was able to bat the ball in the air, and that's when Mangelson was able to intercept it. That, to me, is complementary football. You've got one guy creating pressure, another guy taking advantage of the mistake. And that is more impressive to me even than Crew Wakely's interception at the end. Also, keep this in mind, that BYU has more sacks right now than in five games than they did in all 12 games last year. Mm. And so that is huge to have more than just Tyler Batty to be able to win one-on-one and then to have all the aggressive play calling that they have, and they will blitz from time to time from every different angle. That's important, not just because of the disruption of the quarterback in the pocket, which leads to turnovers, but because it creates penalties. When an offensive lineman has to move at the last second to pick up a blitzer or pick up a stunt or to stay in front of a really good move by a defensive lineman. If he doesn't get over far enough, he tends to reach out and grab. And so holding penalties happen. There were a couple of key holding penalties that BYU forced against Baylor down the stretch. One was Jack Kelly, one was Tyler Batty, because those guys made great moves and they forced the offensive blockers to do something that they were not accustomed to doing because they weren't in position to make the block because of the aggression of the defender. That leads to getting behind the chains for the opposing offense. That leads to having to pass more and pass rushers being able to tee off. All these things complement one another. Then on the back end, you've got multiple guys on this defense that are fast and that are skilled cover guys. And you put all that together, this defense right now is being successful, again, not just because the offense makes mistakes that they take advantage of, but because they are forcing mistakes from these offense with their aggression and their skill.
Trevor Maddux of ESPN is on BYU Sports Nation. The Cougars are now projected to win 9 games,
hey,
which is something when you consider BYU's over-under to start the season was 4.5, so they've already surpassed that. And now, as we said it would happen, if they got to 5-0, they would show up on some national pundits' early college football playoff prediction boards. It is very early. So for you, Trevor, what does BYU still have to do to legitimately enter that type of conversation?
We have to beat the teams that they're supposed to beat. I mean, they'll probably be favored against Arizona State and Houston, although Arizona State is getting better. Houston actually is getting a bit better, too, in some ways. But then they've got Utah, Arizona, Oklahoma State, UCF. You know, they've got to win some of those games in order to be able to get to that point. Now, I would suggest this for the fans to understand the way that the playoff works. If the top 5 highest-ranked conference champions all get a berth in the playoffs, it is assumed that the highest-ranked group of 5 champion, which will be one of those 5, there's only 4 power conferences right now, the highest-ranked group of 5 conference champion, it is assumed, will not be in the top 12. Now, they might be, but if they're not, like let's say Boise State wins the Mountain West and they end up ranked number 14, right? They will jump up and become the 12 seed, even though their ranking is 14 in this scenario. So BYU, if they get to 12, they're still not safe unless all 5 highest-ranked conference champions are ranked above them. If any of them are ranked behind number 12, that conference champion will jump up to number 12 and bounce the 12th ranked team out of the playoff. So fans need to remember that for BYU to have a secure spot in the playoff, they will probably need to be at least number 11.
Great insight.
Unless,
yeah.
Wait, hang on. Unless they win the Big 12. And if they win the Big 12 and are one of the 5 highest ranked conference champions, they're in regardless of their ranking.
And the hope is there are 2 bids, right? Like the Big 12 almost has so much parity that there may only be 1 bid for the champ. The hope is you get 2, but you probably need 2 teams that have 1 loss or fewer. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully BYU continues it, man.
Yeah, hopefully they do. Right now, things are looking good. Right now, it's a party, and fans have every reason to be excited.
Enjoy the moment for the next 2 Absolutely. Weeks. They're 5-0 until October 12th, and then they take on Arizona. Trevor, thanks for the time. We appreciate your insight as always.
Thanks, guys.
He is Maddux Mondays creator, Trevor Maddux of ESPN.
After further review, tomorrow, 7 Eastern time, a lot to talk about for the boys as they recap what's going on with 5-0 BYU after the Baylor win. How about this photo of Sam Vanderhaar running down the field, chugging for 22 yards on 4th down?
The look of frustration on the Baylor coach behind him.
Oh, boy.
College football history goes back to a record-breaking performance when we look at this date in BYU football history. This is BYUSN.
Jamal with
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. This is BYU Sports Nation. I am Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan.
Yo, K-State at Colorado next week is the 8:15 Mountain on ESPN game.
Ooh.
It would appear that BYU Arizona will not be in that slot then.
So where will BYU Arizona fall?
We'll find out.
Okay. We think now because
it's not the ESPN 815.
It's not the late kick on
Kansas
ESPN.
Kansas State at Colorado next week, not this week, next week.
Could be earlier.
Let's
in
figure
the day
it out.
At Lavelle Edwards Stadium. All right. In honor of 100 seasons of BYU football, we continue to look back on some of the best wins, moments, and plays on this date. September 30th of what year, Jerome?
2016. This was a shootout walk-off winner. BYU welcomed Toledo. Taysom Hill to Jonah Trenuman. First play from scrimmage, 75 yards for the tutty.
Oh.
Jamal, two rushing touchdowns in the first half. Game tied 21 at halftime. This was the greatest game Jamal Williams ever played here. In the third quarter, a 48-yard and a 62-yard rushing touchdown. He finished the game with five touchdowns, which tied a record. And a BYU record, 286 rushing yards. Unbelievable.
BYU was 1-3 going into this game. This was a must win. His fifth rushing touchdown right there, 14 yards out.
For the win!
Tied the BYU rushing touchdown record in the game. Gave BYU a 52-45 lead. Hey, Kareem Hunt had a touchdown. Toledo's two-point conversion gave the Rockets a 53-52 lead.
Red Almond, though.
This is crazy. Red but then Red Almond with a 19-yard field goal. Great to look back on
that.
Total
offense, 1,278 yards.
That was amazing. That was the Mac Brown had to leave the booth game, right? With Adam Amin.
Was it that one?
Yeah. So Adam's like, all right, see you, Mac. I guess I'll just finish calling the game by myself. Because it went so long. So much offense.
You had to get back to Bristol or something. It's like, what?
Let's get to today's headlines.
Number 22, BYU football beat Baylor 34-28 Saturday. 5-0 on the season, baby. Jake Retzloff, whatever his name is, led the BYU offense with 269 yards. Total offense, three touchdowns, had two picks. Those were overcome. What a dime here to Darius last.
Oh.
With the win, BYU jumped five spots up to 17 in the AP poll. Cougars now the second highest ranked team in the Big 12 behind number 16 Iowa State and ahead of number 18 Utah.
Jake rated highly again in Pro Football Focus's quarterback numbers.
Yep.
BYU men's basketball announces the signing of 6'10" forward out of Serbia, Mihajlo Boskovic. Boskovic was the 2022 FIBA U20 European Championship Division B MVP.
Another stretch four kind of guy.
The rich get richer for the BYU recruiting class.
Mihajlo, welcome.
Apparently he learned how to speak English by watching Disney movies.
We're going to have to dig into that.
We need to look into that.
That's so Raven. Cougars in the NFL. Fred Warner, seven tackles, 45-yard pick six for the Niners in a 30-13 win over the Patriots. They did look at his ankle during the game, hoping for the best there. Kyle Van Noy, two more sacks for the Ravens in a 35-10 win over the Bills. Up to second in the NFL with six sacks. Taysom Hill, six carries for 24 yards, two touchdowns against the Falcons. He did get taken out of the game with an injured abdomen again. Jamal Williams, three carries for 11 yards in that game as well. Tyler Algier also on the other side. Eight carries for 6 yards, two catches for 20 yards, and the Falcons win over the Saints.
Tyler Algier, make him RB1. More Cougars in the NFL. Zane Anderson had a tackle in a Packers 31-29 loss to the undefeated Minnesota Vikings. Michael Davis, one tackle for the red-hot Washington Commanders in a 42-14 win over the Cardinals. Ryan Rico, three punts, averaging 56.7 yards per kick, along with 63, two punts down inside the 20 for the finally victorious Cincinnati Bengals, who took down the lowly Panthers by 10. And Andy Reid picked up win number 288 in his NFL head coaching career as the Chiefs survived the Chargers 17-10.
Is 288 significant? Why did we throw that in there? Oh, just for fun? Okay, I was like, did he pass somebody?
Well, he's setting records with each win.
Yes,
I know
he
that.
Is. Women's soccer seeks a third Big 12 win tonight as the Cougars host Iowa State in a battle of the top two football teams in the league, it would appear, right now. Tonight, 9 Eastern time on ESPN+. Last season, BYU won this game 7-0.
Can we do that again?
That'd be nice.
Congratulations to the second-ranked BYU men's cross-country team who won the Nutty Comb Invitational in Madison, Wisconsin in dominant fashion. Cougars had four runners finish in the top 10, led by the star, Casey Klinger, who finished fourth overall with a time of 23 minutes, 10 seconds, 400.
Why is that a big deal? It's on the national championship course.
Yes, it is.
Men's tennis had a successful weekend at two different tournaments. Wally Thane, Zach Fuchs competed at the ITA All-American Championships, advanced to the round of 16 before losing in a third set super tiebreaker. And eight Cougars played in the Bedford Cup at the Air Force Academy. BYU's Tyson Goldhammer and TJ Wells advanced to the final, but withdrew from the final because it was played on Sunday.
And good luck to BYU men's and women's golf, who both tee off this morning at the Blessings Collegiate Invitational. in Fayetteville, Arkansas. The Blessings Invitation.
May the blessing of elves, dwarves, and men be upon you.
After the break, did Jimmer Fredette win the week in his Big 12 Pick'em segment? Which of our celebrities still has the best record? All of that revealed after the break. This is BYUSN. What the heck happened to UCF? Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B on a winning Monday. And let's recap our Big 12 Pick'em segment, shall we? Speaking of wins, some surprises for sure, some not so surprising. And we look back now at what Jerem and I did along with the great Jimmer Fredette.
Okay, TCU beat Kansas 38-27. Spence, you got that one. Jimmer and I did not. Josh Hoover, big game. He's thrown for 350-plus in all four games. Jalen Daniels continues to struggle. He has passed for fewer than 200 yards and thrown at least one pick in all five games. Number 23, Kansas State. Shell shocks Oklahoma State is number 20. 42-20, Avery Johnson, 319, five total touchdowns. DJ Giddens ran for 187 in the touchdown. Fourth straight game, Ollie Gordon, sub 100. All three of us picked K-State. Then the biggest surprise of the weekend, perhaps, was Colorado destroying UCF on the road.
What in the world?
48-21, Shedeur Sanders, your boy, 290, three touchdowns. Travis Hunter, 9-89 in the touchdown, played every snap on defense, also had a pick. All three of us missed this game.
The narrative continues for me with Colorado. When I'm like, whatever I think Colorado is going to do, I need to choose the opposite. Because remember, I did that last week where I was like, I think that Colorado is going to lose to Baylor, so I'm going to pick them to win. And then they did.
How about not this week, but next week, the Colorado at K-State game, or sorry, K-State at Colorado game?
Oh, boy. Ooh, seriously.
That's a big one.
Seriously. Number 18, Iowa State blanks Houston 20-0. The Cyclones ran for 240 yards on offense, including 101 and a touchdown from Abu Sama. He's awesome. BYU fans remember him well. He ran all over BYU last year. Houston was held to just 72 yards passing. We all got that game right, picking Iowa State.
Houston does not look very good right now.
Shootout between Texas Tech and Cincinnati. Whoa, highly entertaining game. Taj Brooks for the Red Raiders ran for 172 yards and two touchdowns. He's also talented. Cincinnati's Brendan Sorsby, 478 yards of total offense in the loss. Teams combined for over 1,000 yards of offense in this game, but the Red Raiders survived by three. You and Jimmer got that one right. I picked Cincinnati to win that game. And finally, Arizona shocks 10th-ranked Utah 23-10. Cam Rising out again as Utah starter. Isaac Wilson struggled in his third straight start. Noah Fifita threw for 197 yards and two touchdowns, and the Wildcats throw an early wrinkle into this whole Big 12 race. We all missed that one. We all thought that Utah would take care of business at home because they don't lose home games.
No, they'd won 33-35 at home.
Especially against unranked teams.
Yep.
All right, we all picked BYU to beat Baylor as well.
Yes,
check.
Which, by the way, Jimmer married to a Whitney. I'm married to a Whitney. You're married to a Brittany.
That's right.
So that's a fun fact about the three of us. I just thought.
Whitney, there's your random fun fact of the day.
Hey, there's your new Hulu document.
In our Big 12 pick 'em this week, Jimmer, Jerem, and I all go 4-3.
Hey, tied for second here.
So
nice job, Jimmer.
Kevin Young tied with Jimmer.
Yeah.
Kenneth Rooks is still the man, 5-2.
Silver medalist,
the best celebrity pick record. Good stuff, and we're tied still as well. Up next, what's your favorite part about BYU's 5-0 start? More responses to our question of the day on the way. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
BYU Sports Nation with our question of the day. What is your favorite part about BYU's 5-0 start? So much to love. No wrong answers. Jordcan_25 on Instagram.
This is Dave and I's burner.
Okay, answers you and Dave again. Nice. The Kansas State game for sure. It was electric.
Yeah.
It was electric. Sam_Hanson16 on Axe Answers. Having a bye week to regroup and go for 6-0.
I think this is a good bye week time. You got some banged up guys. Connor Pay, Harrison Taggart, Cody Apps.
Yeah.
Obviously, LJ Martin, your hope. All this without LJ Martin, by the way.
They think they'll have the running backs back by Arizona.
Hinkley Rapati was cleared to play, did not.
Yeah.
That was interesting, too.
Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated from Rowdy and the Rock on X, who says, the fact that BYU is 5-0. Ranked in the top 20, team is rolling, the haters have quieted down, life is great for Cougar Nation.
Life is great for Cougar Nation.
Enjoy it.
It's awesome.
Enjoy it
for
the next 2 weeks.
Next week. Yeah.
Our thanks to today's guest, ESPN's Trevor Maddich.
Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time. The conversation continues 24/7 on Twitter, or X as they call it, Instagram and Facebook. All our shows are on demand on BYUSN.com.
For Jerem Jordan, I'm Spencer Linton. Shout out to Dr. Bob and I.
Let's go!
See you for...